Was there ever a time when Heavy D and the boys, the group was over, where you guys decided, I don't want to do this no more? You know, because I know there was a period when Heavy started doing just Heavy D.
I actually left the group. And the reason why I left the group is because Untouchables had started getting big, and then I was offered a job as vice president of A&R at LaFace. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, it's not like now. Now you got smartphones, you got email, MP3s, you know, Pro Tools sessions. You didn't have all that. You had to be there. So you couldn't be in two places at once. You couldn't be like, I'm the head of A&R at LaFace Records in Atlanta, and then I'm also in the group where at any moment you could get a call, yo, we gotta go do Arsenio. Like, you can't run a business like that. You can't be a head of A&R. What if we got an A&R meeting on Tuesday and then they call me and say, yo, y'all gotta go on the road. You just go on the road, you know what I mean? So it just wasn't feasible to do two things at once like that. Nowadays, you know, you can work out your laptop, your phone at home. You could be, you know, you can get sessions, you can review. Everybody's on the go. But back then, you couldn't do it like that. So I
how upsetting was that for the group? Was Heavy upset about that? Was the other?
Heavy was upset, but you know, Troy had already passed, so the group was already kind of like a little bit weird because we were already operating like it's one dancer, it's, you know, me, and so the group. And again, like I told you, Troy was the glue. Troy was the person that everybody talked to. So it was a little bit, everybody was cool.
I know
it was a little bit more spread out.
At any point in time during that time, did you guys ever talk about coming back together, maybe doing it again? Because I know Heavy at that point started before it was passing. He was doing movies, TV.
Yeah, and then Heavy had a daughter, and then he was raising his daughter, and he had moved to LA. And we actually did come back together. Like, we actually came back together. We did that. You could barely see me, but that show, it was the BET Awards. Yeah. And we performed together. That was the first time in like maybe, might have been 15 years. Wow. And then after that, we were supposed to go on tour after that. We were talking about going on tour. I think it was with LL or somebody. After that, Hev went to the UK to do some kind of tribute show. And on the way back on the flight, when he got back, that's when he passed. That was like really strange for me because it was almost like God brought us back together to do that one show right before he passed.
What's the legacy for Heavy D and the boys, in your opinion?
I think it's not finished yet. I think, you know, there's an Uptown story that's coming, an Uptown series on BET. And I think, and there's some stuff that I want to do to kind of like celebrate, you know, Hev and the legacy it has. There's also a whole Untouchables story with all the Untouchables producers that hasn't been told. You know, we were the first production camp before the Hitmen, before Noontime, before all the different producer camps. I had the first one of the hip hop generation, and we did everybody from Mariah Carey to Mary J. Blige to Case, Destiny's Child's first single, No, No, No. Wyclef, 911, Donnell Jones.
No, No, No is Untouchables?
Yeah. One of Untouchables writers wrote that song, No, No, No.
I know that.
Mary Brown. Shout out Mary Brown. We got Jaheim songs, Fabulous, Put That Woman First. Like, it's just a lot of stuff that's underneath Untouchables' umbrella. And then remixes. People don't know this. Untouchables, my company, I did the first remix that put a rapper on the song that was not on the original song. It was Johnny Gill, Rub You the Right Way.
Right Way. I was getting ready to say maybe. I thought
featuring CL Smooth. Before that, there was never a remix where you took a song, changed the music, and put a rapper on the song that was never on the song. It's not the first song that had a, like, R&B song that had a rapper on it. There was songs, you know, Melly Mel and Chaka Khan, and, you know, even, I'm not sure if LaVert, Heavy and LaVert, if that came out before. I don't know. But there was other songs with rappers on the song.
Official remix.
Where you had a featured artist, which is funny because when I did that, it was the reverse. Johnny Gill was like, yo, this is Johnny Gill from New Edition. And Johnny Gill, with his own career, they sold 2 million records. He gonna be big. He got millions of fans. And then I was doing a remix, And I actually put my rapper on the remix to set up my rapper. Not now, now R&B artists go get a rapper to co-sign them. You know what I mean? Yeah. The rapper's hot. You know, you go, you like, I got this new R&B artist. I'm going to go get Cardi B if she'll be on my record to like stamp me and co-sign me. When I did it, it was totally the opposite. It was nobody knows who CL Smooth is. I'm about to put him out. I'm doing a remix. So I'm going to feature my rapper on. And the crazy thing is back then, this is how crazy it was with R&B radio. All R&B didn't even play rap. So you had to have a non-rap version and a rap version because some stations wouldn't play the rap version. And it was actually, it was a gold single. It was a number one black record. It was a number two pop record. And the only reason it didn't go number one pop is because Mariah Carey, Vision of Love, was number one for whatever, 10 weeks or whatever. It was stuck there. We couldn't, but it was a big record. It was a big club.
Why'd they get you to remix it in the first place? Were they afraid that Johnny Gill wouldn't be able to, you know, make that move? I mean, because he's been, he to me, was a successful artist even prior to being with New Edition.
You know, I think because it was, because it was an up-tempo. And Johnny wasn't known for up-tempos. So that was just the sound at the time. Guy had come out.
Yeah.
New Jack Swing was out. And so traditional R&B, it was good, but it wasn't the thing for the clubs. I came in there, I put the Uptown Heat on it. You know what I mean? I just said, yo, this is what we were doing if it was Uptown.
Ed, what's your favorite of all, and not the Untouchable stuff. I'm only dealing with the Heavy D and the Boy stuff. What's to you? If somebody never knew what they need to listen out for when it comes to a Heavy D and a Boys record, what's the definitive one song you say, when you hear that, you understand what Heavy D and the Boys was all about?
Woo, that's hard, man.
Why they were pioneers, how they did what they did. This song right here will sum it up.
We don't have one song like that, but I get close. It's hard. That's a hard, because we go in too many different directions, man. But if I had to pick one, I probably would pick the essence of Heavy D and the Boys. I probably would pick, like, Is It Good to You? That's the song that's more like black, urban, adult, has the singing, is sexy, you know, it's Hev kind of, you know, doing his charming thing.
That's a Heavy D and the Boys classic. I'm kind of surprised you picked that.
I would have to, because you only let me pick one. Now, if I wanted to show, I would have to be.
This is me. This is an outsider speaking now. This is an outsider. I grew up on Heavy D and the Boys. I grew up on you. I grew up on. When I think Heavy D and the Boys, that's the definitive song for Heavy D and the Boys.
Yeah. Now. Stop us now.
I'm an outsider. I can't speak.
No. I
other fans you. Gonna tell me to shut the F up.
I understand you, and let me tell you. See, let me tell you why I.
You can debate this all day.
No, it's not even a debate. Each person has their opinion. I'm gonna tell you why I would pick that song. To me, it's not the full circle of who Hev is. It doesn't feel like all. I'm trying to, how could you get in the middle and kind of target all the things that Heavy is? The big man, the sexy dude, the charming dude, talking to the women. Because kind of like, see, so.
I think you just, when you said that to me, you said, that song said all that.
So let me give you,
sexy,
let me give
you talk to the women.
Let me give you some songs real quick. Let me give you some songs. If I take The Old Way Lovers in the House, Got Me Waiting, Nothing But Love, it's showing you a range that Hev has that's like, okay, you got the Old Way Lovers in the House. He's talking, you know, sitting in the room with his phone was hanging on, he's talking to a girl. But it's not giving you the Bentleys, you know, suit and hard shoe club vibe. That's giving you hip hop. Then you got Nothing But Love. You got Me Waiting. There's all these records.
Got Me Waiting is all of them are classics.
That's why I was like, it's hard. Like,
it's classic. Exactly. Song.
You see what I'm saying? So I try to pick something in the middle that had a singing hook women will hear it. Is it good to you? So I'm not thinking of it from a strictly dude perspective. If I'm thinking of it from a dude perspective, I would probably go to something like that. And yo, trivia. A lot of people don't know. I put this on my Instagram a little while ago. A lot of people don't know Kid Capri produced that song. Shout out Kid Capri.
Wow, I did not know that. Kid Capri did that one. And I think another definitive heavy song, I think, is this track right here.
Oh yeah.
I think when you're talking about the ladies, he's a lover. The ladies love him. He's a big guy with sex appeal.
That's actually more of the essence of him than Is It Good To You. Know why I didn't pick that song? Because that's from Trivi's solo album.
That's heavy, yeah. That's heavy solo.
That's why I didn't pick that song. But that song also feels like that.
I mean, we could do this all day.
And it's like Big Daddy, and then the chick is like, hey, let me hold. You know what I'm saying? And that's to me what Hab is about.
I knew that was going to be hard for you. I knew you were not going to, that was like a trick question. I knew there was no way for you to truly answer that because I know every artist will say, they're all my babies.
Yeah. I'm going to plug my record though. You know, my record was our biggest charting record. Somebody for me. It's not my favorite Heavy D.
No, this is my second favorite. Other than We Got Our Own Thing, this is my second favorite Heavy D and the Boys record. Like all these songs, you know, for me, I'm a baby growing up in this era. So these songs are this is the soundtrack of my life. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of cool when you grow up, you get to meet, you know, the idols of the music that created the soundtrack of your life. Because, and I know you probably get this sometimes, you never know the impact. You're just creating, you're having fun, you're doing your thing, you're creating the music, but you don't know the impact or how this might be saving somebody's life because the 44 minutes they go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So it's the impact of these groups for me and where I was at that particular time, you know, and not knowing that it's because of this genre of music that I'll have a career. You know, had it not been for this genre of music, you know, I told somebody this the other day, you never know where we all would have been had it not been, like, what would Eddie F. ended up doing? You know, he would have probably been a nice engineer, still down the street somewhere in Mount Vernon. Still, you just you really don't know.
No, it's so crazy, man, because, I'm on that 3,000%. I remember the first time I met Kool Herc. And I was just like, and this wasn't, you know, this was recently, maybe 10, 15 years. It was like after being in the business. Right. I didn't know before. And I remember just thanking him, saying, yo, and you know, I'm real cool with Red Alert. I constantly tell him, like, yo, man, I just thank them because I'm like, yo, they set up a whole groundwork for, you know, a whole industry that a whole bunch of people now are like working actively in, making money, making a living, taking care of their families, like off of something that y'all did, you know, in the parks, in the basement, in the, you know, and, you know, they didn't know it was going to turn into a multi-billion-dollar industry. They were just like, yo, we just trying to have fun. You know, we charging 25 cents to get in the party in the, you know, rec room at the projects. And then it turned into a big, you know, I'm like, yo, the man Drake over there driving like a, you know, a 767? Like, you know, big, you know, Air Drake jet off of this, you know? Y'all created this movement, man.
But Eddie, here's the truth of the matter is you're a part of that history and you're one of the pioneers. And I know you might feel like you probably don't get recognized. Heavy D and the Boys don't get recognized like they should in this global thing that you guys helped to create and further on down the street. But you should all, I'm gonna also salute you as well. I just wanted to
say. I appreciate it, man. And I'm just, you know, end of the day, man, you know this, you're a DJ too. I love music, man. You know, and the first love is music and as a DJ. And, I'm just happy that I never lost that I could still appreciate music. And I know we didn't talk about this, but also I'm not one of those guys that's like, yo, the new music. And
I'm glad you mentioned that though, because you bring that up. I was going to ask how you feel about that. I'm glad you.
I appreciate all the music, man. And yo, it's hit records and hit artists, and there's duds and bombs in every generation and every genre, you know. And so, and just because somebody doesn't like a particular song doesn't mean like the whole genre, the whole generation is trash. I don't subscribe to that, because it's a bunch of hit records, it's a bunch of hot records. You know, I love a lot of the artists that's out now. But there's also, you know, there's one hit wonders, and there's people that's like, I don't know about that too. But that was with us and before us and with Motown and with the 60s, and it's always like that. And that's one of the things I like about being a DJ. I can always appreciate the music just on the face of the music. And this is the other thing too, man. And I say this every chance I get. I like to submit to people, because, you know, there was a whole thing going on about mumble rapping. No, man, that's not, it's not music. And what are they talking about? And I'm like, and I was on a panel and I brought this up one day. I said, yeah, I submit to you. I said, mumble rap. I said, you know how in jazz, I said, you know, there's a thing in jazz called scatting. I said, they're not saying nothing. All they're doing is hitting notes. And they just hitting notes. But it's about how you hitting the notes, the inflection, the energy behind it, and it brings a certain feel. It's basically using your voice as an instrument. And so I like to bring this up because a lot of people be out here bashing, you know, mumble rap and bashing new songs. And I'm like, I don't care if somebody's out here and they J. Cole-ing it, or they as deep as Rakim, or if they just shouting little phrases and sayings, because sometimes, again, when you in the club, you ain't thinking about all that. Sometimes it's just about the feel. Sometimes, yeah, you think about this. Sometimes when you're in the club, and so, and sometimes it's just about the release. Like, it's all about, it's not always about, every book is not made to be a novel. You know what I mean? Every song is not made to be like a full course meal. Sometimes you want the burger. Sometimes you just want some fries. Sometimes you just want some onion ring. Sometimes you want some chips. It's all good. It don't matter. And there's quality rappers, and there's superstars now. And then there's people that just make hot club records. And you need all that. You need all of that. And it's all great music. And then there's trash too, just like there's trash in every generation, but we ain't even got to get into that. But my point is, I respect the music and the music people are making now just as much as the music before. And I play it, and I'm a DJ, and I enjoy everything. And I'll subscribe to that nonsense about the new versus the old, because I'm sure when we came out and we was rapping, and you know, some dudes who used to, you know, a generation before us that was
anything singing, what you're doing right, yeah,
wearing tuxedos and bow ties, was probably like, look at these dudes, they wearing like sneakers with fat laces and they yelling on the record, you know what I'm saying? And like, we thought like, nah, this is, you know, you gotta really realize every generation got their own presentation, you know. So I salute, you know, everybody that's making hit records now, just like, you know, the people with us and the people before us.
Tell me about the phenomenal DJ Eddie F. What's his next phenomenon? I know right before all this happened, which is unfortunate, you were just on a soundtrack, you were just promoting that. And then, you know, the world decided, you know what, Eddie, forget that. We getting ready to have a pandemic, so forget everything you're trying to do.
Well, that came out last year at Christmas, so that was able to come, and that was good. I got some other stuff that I'm working on. Because the way everything is mixed up right now, I'm not even gonna talk about it, because I'm like, I don't even wanna put nothing out there unless it's actually coming. But I'm working on some creative stuff. But okay, Thankfully, I was already kind of doing like a lot of my business and stuff from home. So when this happened, I was able to just keep doing what I was doing.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you how this whole virus and pandemic has affected you. Is Eddie F now stationary? You know, a lot of people losing jobs, because I know you decided to go in the business sector and stuff like that. So
I was already doing most of my stuff from home. So I had to just, you know, start being more careful when I do go out. A lot of the places where I go, they were like essential businesses. So they're kind of like still open. All I'm looking for now is I'm just looking to see, I don't know what the new economy is going to look like. You know, I wasn't out here touring, doing shows like that. So that's not going to affect me, but it's still just music in general. I just want to see what everything's going to look like. I think we're not going to really know what this thing is really going to be for the next 30 to 90 days, because yeah, the virus is still there. The virus is just there hanging over your head. Like, yeah, anytime I might get you, the fear of that. But then now you got the economy. Yeah. The economy is the real big problem. And it's not just whether you have a job, whether you have a gig. It's not just that. It's the whole ecosystem. Like, yo, it could be cool. You know, you could be cool. You could have a job. But if for your job to be what it is, there needed to be seven other people that were buying stuff, and then they not buying stuff, then it's like, okay, your stuff is still diminished, you know? And that's what, and nobody knows what that is yet. You got states and cities, you know, people thinking about businesses and people can't pay their rents. It's like, yo, cities and states, they wasn't getting revenue neither. So they can't pay their bills. They got, and this is the thing that's dangerous and people don't really know. And, you know, I'm not trying to, like, scare anybody or anything. I'm just trying to put awareness out there. The federal government and Congress, they could pass a bill and they could print money. Cities and states, they can't print money. They can't say, oh, we got a shortfall of $5 million. Let's go to our, you know, state legislature and pass it in and get some more money. Only the Fed can do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so these are real expenses. Not what people think. These are police officers. These are fire departments. These are, like, you know, social services. These are all the things that operate in the background that people are not really used to. It's almost like air. It's like, yo, it's always there. But then now, what if it's not always there? People not used to not having that money there. So my point is, we don't know. This is a controversial subject. A lot of this stuff with the states opening up and stuff like that. Some of it is the red states, the blue states. Some of it is selective. And then at the same time, some of it is in the back room. Hey, if we don't open up and do whatever, it ain't gonna be no state for nobody to come back to, because ain't no revenue being generated. And in a minute, ain't gonna be no unemployment and no pensions and no nothing for the police, fire department, anything, if we don't start getting some kind of revenue generated. So it's scary.
Are you on the ropes about that then? Sound like you on the ropes about, like, you're damned if you do let everybody start getting back acclimated to life.
I'm not on the ropes at all. Let me tell you, I'm gonna just jump out the window here, because I already done put it on my Instagram. I've been thinking all this stuff like a couple of like steps ahead. Like, I was one of them people before everybody raided the supermarkets and the toilet paper and all. I had already been planning 2 weeks before. I had already shot. I had stuff already, because I see it coming. You know, I saw it coming. You know, I got CNBC on right now in front of me. I'm just watching what they talking about with the money. What's going on? What's going on with the market? What's going on with the Fed? But let me just say this. Everybody was saying, Kemp, yo, he trying to kill black people. He said, I'm go back to work, open the beauty shops and the barber shops. And I said, I told some people, a few people called me, and I said, and I already knew this. I said, this is the problem. I said, if you're Eddie F., or, and I'm not going to throw my man's name out there, but I said, if you're Eddie F., or if you're you, work for yourself, or if you're Jermaine Dupri, or if you're any of these people that can work for themselves and determine if I want to go out or go outside, I said, you good. But I said, if you're a minority and you work for any non-minority owned business, and they say, hey, work is open, and you like, nah, I'm not coming because the virus is out there, I said, then you're going to lose your job. You're going to be fired, and you're not going to be able to collect unemployment, because then it's going to be like you quit. You voluntarily said, I'm not coming in. So now people have to choose, do I come to work, try and figure it out, try and wear a mask? If they're wearing masks, if you're in a situation where you can wear a mask, if your job is set up where you can social distance, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because we don't know what every workplace is set up like. You say no, and then you don't have a job. And then meanwhile, today, it's another 3 or 4 million people filed. So a total of 30 million people filed unemployment in the last 6 weeks. So then you say no, and you jump out there with all those people that don't have jobs. It's not like it's a little bit of people. The job pool is crazy because there's so many people looking. So every job is going to have 10 people looking for that job. Yeah. So it's crazy. And, you know, I know we totally off music now, but we ain't seen nothing other like this. We haven't seen nothing like this in our lifetime. None of us have seen what's about to happen. This is the craziest financial time since the Depression. And they calling it a recession. And this is the thing. The definition of a recession is at least 2 quarters of negative growth. If you have at least 4 quarters of negative growth, it's a depression. So I don't know what's about to happen. All I know is you have the whole country that ain't been out here for a minute. You got 30 million people filed for unemployment. Let me give you one other statistic real quick.
Go ahead and scare the hell out of my people that's watching, Eddie. Go on, scare.
No, I don't want, yo, listen.
No, but it's facts. It's facts. Go ahead.
I don't want people to be scared. I want you
it's
to
facts. Informed. Informed. We'll use the word.
Informed. I want you to have the information. Yes, you know, sir. In the recession of 2008, the Great Recession, 8 million people filed for unemployment, but that was over a 2-year period. We have 30 million people that filed for unemployment within 6 weeks. So what does that tell you? So all I'm saying is, I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm saying this so people have the right mindset. So that when you like, nah, man, yo, forget that job or whatever, like you might want to think twice about it. Not saying you should go to work if it's unsafe, because I ain't promoting nobody going to work if you're not safe.
I'd like rather err on the side of caution.
No, I agree with you, and I feel the same exact way. I'm saying more like people need to take it serious. Because, like, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to throw no names out there, but somebody called me, one of my people from Atlanta, and was like, oh, man, you know, yeah, man, the federal government, yeah, man, they done made so much money for so many years, they gonna have to just, you know, almost like they gonna have to just take care of stuff and make sure people is good and help everybody. And I'm like, no, they don't. I'm like, and that's why I'm telling people, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to say, don't sit around and be like, oh, I'm gonna be good. The federal government gonna make sure we good. I'm like, yo, this situation is crazy. You don't know what's gonna happen. Don't be depending on the Fed gonna make sure you good. Have the information and take it serious so that you could do what you need to do and so you don't get caught out there. I just don't want none of want any of my friends or any of my people to just get caught by surprise.
I'm going to stay hopeful on that. Again, we don't know, but I'm going to stay hopeful that there is some figuring out of all of this and that we all come through this as better people, as being prepared, because this ain't going to be the last time this happens.
Hopefully
they learn that what our former president had in place, they probably need to put it back in place again. Yes. And be ready. We now see that we need to have an organization that's in place and ready, you know, for these kind of situations. And that was taken away by the current.
You know what's crazy? This could have happened before. And I'm going to send it to you because somebody sent it to me, a whole printout. This could have happened with the Ebola situation, but the response was totally different. And, you know, it's not to, you know, I don't know the details of the current administration. All I know is they laid out what happened when that happened. And they sent a team over there and contained it before it even got out of the country. Obama did that. So I'm going to send you the information because I don't want to misspeak. But it's a whole list of all the steps they took to stop it from spreading.
Well, the former administration, like I said before, had in place a group or a team that was supposed to be prepared for these times, but the current administration got rid of it.
Right. Yep.
I don't want to get all overly political.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about the greatness of Heavy D and the Boys and Eddie. And I know we took a very political, we went in a very different direction here as we close out, but you bring about, I think, a very serious matter, but I am going to stay hopeful that we come out of this with a very resilient society.
Yep.
We will figure out a way to take something like this and make something good out of it. But hopefully after all this, we will all rebound and we will come through. It's always good to see you, Brother Eddie F.
Yes, same here, man. Appreciate it, man. Definitely, man.
Same tell everybody here. Where to follow you too, man.
Oh, yeah, man. You can follow me at DJ Eddie F. DJEDDIEF. And that's everything. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. Facebook.com/DJ Eddie F. It's all DJ Eddie F.
Stay safe out there. I can tell by that thing that you got on your face, you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, Eddie. I appreciate it, brother.
All right.
Take care, homie.
Peace.